It's probably safe to say that we are all at this point a little frustrated with Brexit. No one more so, I'm sure, than our Prime Minister. But in the world of property law, frustration has a distinct, rarely applied, but very important meaning. And it is that meaning that is at the centre of the courtroom showdown between Canary Wharf and the European Medicines Agency. It's a highly anticipated trial that began this morning, and its implications, some say, could be hugely significant. But, as with many property cases, the arguments can be complicated. So, what is Canary Wharf v EMA all about? At the heart of the dispute is the EMA's lease of 25 to 30 Churchill Place, Canary Wharf, entered into back in 2014, following an agreement for lease 3 years earlier entered into in 2011. The lease runs until 2039 at a rent currently of £13 million a year. And crucially, the EMA does not have a break clause. Now, the EMA has asserted that this lease will be legally frustrated as a result of Brexit, and that, as a result, it will not need to comply with its commitments, including paying the rent, over the rest of the term following 29th March 2019, which, as things stand, is the date the UK is scheduled to leave the EU. Canary Wharf, unsurprisingly, takes the position that Brexit does not amount to a frustration of the lease as a matter of English law. It is seeking a declaration from the court to that effect, and the EMA is seeking a declaration that it is a frustrating event. So, what is legal frustration? This is a doctrine under English law that applies to contracts but is very rarely successful. In particular, it has never before been successfully argued in relation to a lease. A lease or contract is frustrated when an event occurs which fundamentally changes the performance of the contract so that it would be unjust to make the parties continue to perform it. Specifically, the test for frustration from case law is as follows. Frustration of a contract takes place when there supervenes an event without default of either party and for which the contract makes no sufficient provision, which so significantly changes the nature, not merely the expense or onerousness, of the outstanding contractual rights and or obligations from what the parties could reasonably have contemplated at the time of its execution, that it would be unjust to hold them to the literal sense of its stipulations in the new circumstances. In such case, the law declares both parties to be discharged from further performance. Now, the case law has established for decades that frustration can be applied to contracts in appropriately exceptional or rare cases. In his written arguments outlining the case for the European Medicines Agency, experienced property law barrister and regular EG columnist Jonathan Seatler QC says that this is as rare and as exceptional a case as the court will ever see. He argues that if the doctrine of frustration does not apply to this lease, and in these exceptional circumstances, then it is hard to see when it ever would. If the EMA is correct and wins the declaration that its lease would come to an end upon the date of Brexit, then they would cease to pay rent or comply with their other legal obligations from that date. So the key question is whether the judge will decide that the lease is frustrated under English law. At the start of the case today, Joanne Wicks QC, representing Canary Wharf, said that whilst Parliament continues to determine what Brexit means, it is for the courts to determine its legal effects. She told Judge Mr Justice Marcus Smith that the question he had to decide was whether the UK's decision to leave the EU is a matter that fundamentally and radically changes the performance of the contract between Canary Wharf and the EMA, such that the EMA should be released from its obligations. Canary Wharf's position is that the lease will not be frustrated. It says the European Medicines Agency contracted with Canary Wharf as an entity in itself, independent of the EU, and there is nothing in its lease that made its occupation dependent on the UK's continued membership of the EU. As a result, it says Brexit will not destroy the building or make performance of the lease obligations impossible. It will not deprive the EMA of its property asset or its ability to use the premises. Canary Wharf says the EMA is not required to occupy the premises personally and has flexibility in that its lease can be assigned or sublet to third parties. Like any asset, the lease can be transferred to a third party as a new tenant. The EMA, however, takes the opposite view. The EMA says that it is a decentralised agency of the European Union, which owes its entire existence to the system of EU law. It says its founding instruments necessarily require and assume that it will have its seat in a member state of the EU, which would not be the case once the UK leaves the EU. It says that the building was specially built for it, bespoke, and that the parties envisioned that it would be the tenant throughout the lease term. Canary Wharf says that whilst the building was constructed for the EMA, it was not bespoke. It also says that the EMA stance ignores the negotiated terms of the lease, which is not personal to the EMA, and specifically allows it the flexibility to assign or underlet. The EMA's case also involves relatively complicated points under EU law. It says that it needs protection of Protocol 7, which gives the EMA immunity under EU law, and that following Brexit it would no longer have that benefit to ensure the proper functioning and independence of the EMA, nor the protection of the European Court of Justice. It also casts doubt on whether it would be legally able under EU law to hold or dispose of property in a non-member state after Brexit. In response, Canary Wharf says that there is nothing to prevent EMA from holding or disposing of property after Brexit, especially when the EMA clearly had the power to enter into a 25-year lease at the time it did so. But one of the key battlegrounds of Canary Wharf v EMA is over the foreseeability of Brexit back when the lease was entered into and when the agreement for lease was entered into. The EMA says that in 2011, no person of ordinary intelligence could have foreseen that the UK could potentially leave the EU at any time up to 2039, when the lease ends. In response to this, Canary Wharf's position is that the issue of UK membership of the EU has been a well-debated and divisive political topic for many years, which has attracted significant press and public interest. Article 50, the mechanism which allows a member state to withdraw from the EU, had been enshrined in law since the Lisbon Treaty was signed by EU member states in December 2007. And there had been numerous polls which show that a significant proportion of the population wanted or expected that the UK would leave the EU. In addition, the EMA argues that it would not be just to hold it to its lease because, following the decision to move to Amsterdam in the wake of Brexit, it would have to pay rent on two buildings. Its total liability for rent and other sums due over the remainder of the lease is estimated to be about £500 million, which would be a very substantial loss. However, Canary Wharf take the stance that greater expense is not enough to release parties from their contracts, and that it would be unjust to release EMA from its freely negotiated lease obligations on this basis, just because it has decided to relocate. However, the EMA say that following Brexit, they are unable to use the premises as a matter of law. But Canary Wharf take the view that there is nothing in the EU regulations which prohibits an EU agency from operating in a non-member state. So those are the key arguments that are involved in Canary Wharf v the European Medicines Agency. And one of the other issues that will be considered by the court is what the nature of Brexit will be. The judge said at the start of today's hearing that he would consider the case on the basis of a hard Brexit and also on the basis of Theresa May's proposed deal. Now, those are the arguments involved in the case of Canary Wharf v EMA. What are the implications that the case could have? Many commentators have speculated that if the EMA was to succeed, this could well open the door to many similar claims of frustration arising from the impact of Brexit in the property market, but also more widely, because of course frustration does not just apply theoretically to leases, but also applies to all contracts. Now, the EMA takes the view that this is an exceptional case. It is, of course, closely tied to the EU, and, as its own counsel has said, if frustration doesn't apply in its case, it's unlikely to apply in any other case. The EMA argues that while frustration does apply in its case, it would not necessarily apply to others holding property in the UK. It says there are no wider implications. Nevertheless, if the EMA were to succeed, it is possible that other EU bodies or any parties whose contracts have become harder to perform as a result of Brexit, or who have entered into contracts or leases on the basis of the UK being a member state of the EU, could also seek to argue that their contracts are frustrated as a result of Brexit. But even if this case does set a precedent establishing that Brexit can be a frustrating event, each of those cases would have to be decided on its merits. Now, the trial is due to last between 5 and 7 days, and so is going to run into next week, and it is likely that the judge will take his time to consider his decision and release a written judgment in due course. It is anticipated that he will do so prior to the 29th of March 2019, the current deadline for Brexit.